Lord, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I'm especially excited just to be here. A couple weeks off, not really preaching, just to have this opportunity to talk about this discipline of prayer. So, Lord, I pray today and always as we open up your word. God, three little words that we look at today, I pray, God, that these three words change our lives, change our relationships with you, and hence change our relationships with one another. We love you, and we pray for the power of your word to speak into our lives. Amen. So, this series is kicking off what will be one of four sermon series between now and next November that will have to do with spiritual disciplines. We're kind of changing some things up, just this series in November and our Christmas, our December series, I should say, and then series into next year are going to have to do a lot with spiritual disciplines. And I know what that means, okay? I know, when we hear the word discipline, we don't like it. As kids, we don't like to hear it from our parents. And as adults who get into our little groove and then get into living life the way we like to live life, when you start talking about disciplines, you start talking about changes to the way I am living. If you go to the doctor and your doctor says, hey, you need to change the way you eat, you need to start exercising, those are changes, those are disciplines that your doctor is enforcing upon you, and no one wants that. We don't like to hear the word disciplines. And so now we're going to talk about it four different times, okay? Four different series between for the next 13 months. And I'm sure that you are super excited about that. I know you're not. The intent, though, behind developing new habits or disciplines is about two things. And I'm going to say this a couple of times over the course of the next couple of weeks. Okay, because I want this to sink in when it comes to spiritual disciplines. It's about two things. One, the individual person drawing closer to God. The purpose, the intent to spiritual disciplines is you, the individual person, drawing closer to God. Now, as a church, it's our top priority for you and your faith journey. It's our vision statement. We desire for you to draw closer to God. We say we want you to bridge the gap between where you are and God. We want you to draw closer to Him. Well, church, I can tell you right now, if you keep doing the exact same thing, the exact same way, over and over and over and over again in any relationship, guess what? There's not going to be growth. I mean, it's just a matter of fact. And so when we do that then with our relationship with the Lord, if we only give the Lord this much stuff, whether it's I attend church, I attend life group, and I pray a few times, I read the Bible a few times, if all I ever give God is the same amount over the course of my life, I'm sorry to say this, there's just not that much change taking place. But when we start introducing new disciplines in, when we start giving God new ways of accessing our heart and accessing our life, change begins to take place. I will draw closer to the Lord. So that's the first one. The second one, and this is about new disciplines in my life, is living out the life that Jesus promises when He said, come to me, all who are tired. I mean, I know a lot of people in the ministry, a lot of different churches. I know a lot of Christians. I myself have certainly been there. Spiritually, we're tired. Life has just beat us down. Whether it's frustrations at work, whether it's frustrations in our marriages, whether it's frustrations with our kids, whether it's frustrations in, you name it, we get beat down. And Jesus says to us, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, all who are tired. Take my yoke upon you, for my way is easier. Learn from me, he said. And so, church, the obedient life of following Jesus is a better and simpler life. Incorporating these habits or disciplines in my life helps me achieve this very thing that Jesus is offering. So it's important for us to wrap our minds around spiritual disciplines. It's important for us to take these seriously. Disciplines, here's the deal, aid us. They benefit us. They help us in our faith journey. So the fewer disciplines that are part of my life, I believe it's safe to say, it's fair to say, the more difficult our faith journey will be. Disciplines do not change my circumstances. If I change my prayer life and I add fasting and meditation and Bible study, if I start adding these things to my life, it doesn't change my circumstances. It changes my perspective of what's going on. And that's a life changer. I now view obstacles. I now view tragedies. I now view all these things that are part of my life and part of my routine. I now have a different perspective. That's the importance of disciplines. And so, as Jeff introduced to us last week, our first and the simplest discipline is prayer. And here's the thing with prayer. And he talked about this. It requires nothing other than the desire. You don't have to have a journal. You don't have to have a Bible. Heck, I'll go ahead and tell you some of you. I'm going to clue some of you in. You don't even have to have a meal in front of you to be able to pray. All you have to have is the desire. Prayer is a discipline that you have access to 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and it requires nothing more than I want to pray. And here's the sad reality amongst most Christians. It's a sad reality amongst the church. Most Christians only pray when the going gets really tough. I mean, that's just, I have conversations all the time with people. But they're going through life situations that are just terrible, and they've not even brought it before the Lord. One of the saddest realities amongst the church is that we only pray when the going gets really tough. And here's the other sad reality amongst Christians who do pray. We don't take advantage of prayer enough. I certainly have seasons. And when I say seasons, years of my faith journey, that I didn't take advantage of prayer. I didn't take advantage of the power of prayer and the access to God. I only prayed when I was supposed to pray, and I'll give you my routine in just a few minutes. But that's some sad realities when it comes to the church. And so we're going to fix that right here today with us, okay? In an interview with Billy Graham about his ministry, I love this interview. I love going back to this interview. He was asked about changes that he would make to his ministry if he could do it over again. You know what? He said one thing. You know what he said? I would pray more. If I had it to do all over again, I would pray more. I did not pray enough. And here's the thing. Here's a man who built his ministry. This incredible ministry that's reached the lives of people around the world, he built this ministry on the disciplines of prayer and Bible study, and he wishes he would have prayed more. I was reading a separate interview about his family, and they were talking about the home life. And every day, they began the day as a family with studying a verse together, a single verse, and spending time in prayer. That took place before anybody left the house. Every day. And you hear his kids talk about it. You hear his kids talk about that discipline. Every day that we prayed. And here he is saying, you know what? I didn't pray enough. And I'm like, man, if Billy Graham is saying, I didn't pray enough, I'm going to tell you right now, Michael Sykes is nowhere close to praying enough. And this verse right here is going to reveal to us that none of us pray enough. There's three words. If you have your Bibles, flip with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three words that I hope change your entire relationship with the Lord, change your relationship with one another. Underline it in your Bible if you have it. These three words, never stop praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Never stop praying. Or if you have the ESV, pray without ceasing. All right? Now, I mean, can you imagine that world? Like, just those three verses. Never stop praying. So based on this verse that Paul writes, we are in the same shoes as Billy Graham, needing to pray more. So my question, and it's the intent of today and next week, is to wrap our minds around this verse. How do I live a life where we pray without ceasing? How do we live that life? How do we live a life where we never stop praying? Our teachings on this series are based on the book by Tozer, Prayer. And that's the cover slide that was up there earlier. That's what the book looks like. The book is just entitled Prayer. That's it. Okay? Our teachings are influenced by that. And I highly recommend you getting that book. It's based on sermons that he's preached in his career with some additional commentary. Very simple read, right? But Tozer has really taught us some amazing things about prayer that I want to share with you. The opening line of the book is this: prayer, at its best, is the expression of the total life. That's the first sentence in the book. Prayer, at its best, is the expression of the total life. The entirety of our life should reflect the discipline of prayer. Again, the question, how is this to be? I mean, Tozer is simply summarizing the verse, never stop praying. So how is this to be? Well, this is done when we have a truer understanding of what prayer is. I personally believe that the church has an incomplete understanding of what prayer is. Okay? I believe that. And my life reflects that. Here's Tozer's definition of prayer. You've heard this from me before, but I want to give it to you because it did, and I didn't even know this. I got it from somebody else that got it from Tozer. So that was cool. Here's Tozer's definition of prayer. Prayer is constant communion with God. That's prayer. That right there is what prayer is. Prayer is constant communion with God. Now, most of us are not taught this. I was never taught this until my late 30s. That this is what prayer is, and it radically changed my prayer life. And I know for a large part of my Christian life, this truthfully is what prayer has been limited to. Okay, so I'm going to share with you what my prayer life has looked like most of my faith journey. It's centered around meals. Okay, I was taught, you say the blessing, God is great, God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands, we are fed. I used to mess that up as a kid. By our hands, we are fed. My mom and dad would correct me. By His hands, we are fed. Give us this Lord our daily bread. Okay. Meals. Always prayed at meals. I used to think I was a rebel when I got to school as a teenager and I didn't pray over my lunch. Show my parents. Morning quiet times. Right? You gotta start your day off with the Lord. So, you know, before your feet hit the floor, your knees should hit the floor, right? And you go down and you pray. Got my little devotion right there. I'm gonna start my day out with prayer. Here we go. Church activities. We show up to the building. Got to pray. Can't have an activity without prayer, right? I mean, you can't come in the doors and do something as a church. You got to pray over it. Everything. right? So, hey, we're going to do this service project where we rake leaves. We're going to pray over it. You know, we're going to have an event. We're going to pray over it. And our prayers always were right there in the moment, never well in advance for the moment. It was, hey, we're at church right now. We pray over what we're about to do. And then the critical need moments of my life. Oh, my goodness, there's something amazing. There's something big going on. This person's got something, so we stop and pray. Right? I mean, that's when I prayed. I prayed at meals. I prayed at church activities. I prayed at quiet time devotions, that kind of stuff. And I prayed for the big moments. And for the most part, that's it. And here's what my prayer sounded like. Hey, God, obviously the food. Thank you for the food. I'm a big thank God for things. Thank God for the food. Thank God for the blessings. Thank God for whatever. Hey, Lord, keep us safe. I'm also a big keep us safe. I pray a lot of prayers of safety over you people when you travel. Keep us safe, God. Hey, Lord, help me with something. Whatever it is. Help me. Help me with something. I need your help. I can't do this. I have to have you. Lord, help me. Lord, can you provide this? Can you give this? Lord, I want this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I can't live life without this. Lord, if you give me this, I'll bless other people with it. You know, Lord, hey, Lord. Lottery, millions, me. Bless the kingdom, God. Use me, Lord. I'm the one. I'm the one, Lord, that's going to show the discipline and not fall into the rut that every other lottery winner has done. Me, God. Oh, yeah, and forgive me. Dang it, God, I sinned. I messed up again. Hey, will you forgive me again? Hey, God, will you forgive me of the same thing again? Hey, God, that thing that you forgive me for twice already, can you do it again and again and again? And that's my prayer life, church. I mean, that is my prayer life for the most part. Which is a far cry from never stop praying. Because let's think about it. If I prayed that way all the time, it would get incredibly old and burdensome. I mean, if that's my prayer life, if my prayer life is nothing but here, I'm going to sit here and talk to you, God, about the things I want, the things I think I need, and the stuff I'm thankful for, and I'm going to live my life, never stop praying, doing that, it's going to get incredibly old to both me and God. And so here's where we have to wrap our mind around a better perspective of prayer. Because we have limited prayer to communication with God. That's culturally, we've made prayer all about talking to God and giving Him our list. Now, what is your boss going to say if you go into work tomorrow and say, well, you know, my pastor told me this verse about never stop praying, so I'm just going to sit here at my desk today and I'm just going to talk to God and I'm going to ignore the customers or I'm going to ignore the job that you have for me to do. Well, now we're stuck. I mean, what do we do? Oh, well, I was going to spend some quality time with my family playing this board game tonight. But nope, I got to sit here and pray. I got to sit here and talk to God. I can't do it. Oh, man, I ran into this person at work and I was going to share my faith with them. But you know what? I'm over here praying, over here giving my list to God. Over here sharing my things. And culturally, we've taken prayer and we've said it's all about communication with God. And most of that communication has to do with us talking and not listening. So prayer has to be more than communication. It has to be more than talking to God. And that's why Tozer says that prayer is constant communion with God. Do you know what communion is? I mean, I know we took communion, right? Like, well, yeah, so now you're telling me I've got to always have some bread and juice with me. No, okay, that's a part of what we do here. This too is communion. But here's the definition of communion. It's the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. Let me say that again, because this is important to understanding what prayer is. It's the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. Prayer, then, is the constant sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. To have a proper understanding of prayer, we must train our mind to share with God everything that is going on when it is not engaged with what has to be done in the moment. So let me give you examples. If you're sitting in biology class, your mind needs to be on biology, not on girls in the back, not on baseball, not on where LSU is going to go be in the rankings, not on you name it. If you're sitting in biology class, your mind needs to be on biology, right? If you're on the phone with a customer, your mind needs to be focused on the customer. If you are building what you need to be building with your hands, then your mind needs to be focused on the build. If you're sitting in life group tonight, talking about radical, you need to be focused on radical. However, when your mind is free to go to other places, where does it go? I mean, because I can tell you right now, there's a large part of our day that our mind does not have to be zoned in, locked in on something, that it has the freedom to wander and go to different places. A large part of our day is spent that way. So where do your thoughts go in those moments? Are you sharing thoughts and feelings with God on a mental level? When my mind is free to wander, where does it naturally go? Does it go to the football team? Does it go to your favorite hobby? Does it go to your social calendar? Where do your thoughts take you when your mind is free to wander? What do you think about when your mind is free from being engaged with what it has to be engaged with? The discipline of prayer, church, is training our mind to share our personal thoughts with God when the mind is not engaged in what it has to be engaged with. So seriously, when I walk out of this building in just a little while, just a few minutes, when I walk out of this building, when I walk home from church, where's my mind going to wander? Is it going to go to, I wonder how bad the Falcons are getting beat by the Saints. Man, I sure do wish they'd fire Dan Quinn, just get rid of the entire, is that where my mind is going to go? Or is my mind going to go, you know what? Man, God really spoke to me this morning. Those three little words of never stop praying. God, continue to work in my life so that I never stop praying. Lord, I pray that my prayer life continues to develop and be in a continual state of communion with you. Where's it going to go? And like, that's the assessment. That's where we're going this week and next week. So this is a two-part sermon series. All right, this is it. So this topic is two parts. So today is the introduction of here's what prayer is. It's constant communion with God. Here's what communion is. Next week, we're going to talk about the how. How do I do this? But before we get to next week, I want to share with you the why. Why is this important? Why is this important to me right now? Well, I have two reasons for you this morning. Have you ever been in a relationship? If you're married, hopefully it's your spouse, okay? But have you ever been in a relationship, sibling, really good friend, spouse, that you're there together, and you're hanging out. Maybe you're driving down the road, maybe you're watching something, and there's just not a whole lot of conversation going on, but you know what the other person's thinking. Like you know it. Like you see, maybe there's something that comes on TV and you blurt it out right before your spouse or you know, Jeff, who came and preached last week, he and I are that way, okay? Amanda and I are that way, but that's really because she has a sick sense of humor, and I'm sorry. But Jeff and I, we are that way. Amanda's like, I don't want to be around you two because it's annoying because your minds are on the same eighth grade level, okay? You both track together in middle school, and you haven't matured from that. But just one of those relationships that man, we can just be sitting around, hanging out. We don't have to be talking. We don't have to be doing anything. We can just be hanging out, and we know the other person's thoughts. You ever have one of those relationships? Because it's pretty special. It's pretty cool. It's an intimate relationship, I'll tell you that. It's an intimate relationship that has been developed because of the amount of time together. That's the true essence of prayer. A healthier relationship with God. That I can be sitting here, and when my mind is free, I'm thinking about God. I've moved way on past having to have sports radio in my life. Man, I could drive down the road and I don't have to have anything. And it's just this quiet time with God. That's the true essence of prayer. The second reason has to do with me becoming more like Jesus. Remember what following Jesus is all about: eternal life. You surrender your life to Jesus, it's about two things: eternal life and becoming like Him in this life. That's what it's all about. When you say, I want you to be the Lord of my life, it's about two things: getting the great big inheritance at the end and becoming like Him in this life. That's my goal. And so Romans 12:2 gives us this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the, what? Renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I am transformed, church, by the renewing of my mind. Prayer is constant communion with God. Prayer is the constant sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts. Where do those take place? In our minds and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. I am transformed into His likeness as my prayer life is developed, as I embrace what prayer is, constant communion with God. And so if I keep my prayer life to this little, I'm going to pray a few times a day, and it's going to be about my list and this and about God giving, I'm going to be very slow to being transformed into His likeness. So two things: a healthier relationship with the Lord and being transformed into His likeness. And so, church, this morning you have to decide as you evaluate. We always challenge you with David's prayer of, search my heart, O God. know the faults you have with me and reveal those to me. And so if your prayer life is one that it's just been bland, if it's been, man, my prayer life is just this, that's your homework this week, is just to assess your prayer life. And next week, I'm going to share some cool stuff with you about how to bring this in to your life. So that when you're driving down the road and your kids are on the back seat and they're going back and forth, you don't have to get your blood pressure cranked up and yell and threaten to end their life. You're just cruising along, spending time with God. It's a life changer. Father, I pray that we never stop praying. Teach us. Amen.